end of the His Hardline podcast, where we ignite independent and accurate thought, break the chains and shackles of mental bondage, challenge societal norms, and traverse through the timeless teachings of our Heavenly Father. Join us as we liberate minds and embrace the power of the Great Awakening while embracing true sovereignty. Welcome to the show.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Thank you for tuning into the His Hardline podcast. And if you want to find more shows like this, along with our social media links, you can find all of that at hishardline.com. That's www.hishardline.com. I am Jason, your co-host with our Sovereign Lord and Savior Christ Jesus at my side, because he is the host with the most and the most high. He's at the helm, he's behind the wheel and in the captain's chair, steering this great ship of ours through these crazy rough waters and this storm that we call life. So welcome to His Hard Line. Today's show is called Spiritual Treason, and we'll be doing a reading out of 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. Now, I want to clarify that while I serve as a lawful and honorable member of the Michigan General Jural Assembly in good standing, my expertise does not extend to being a licensed doctor, holistic health expert, financial advisor, biblical scholar, or bar lawyer. Additionally, I am not the official face or voice of the national, state, or county General Jural Assembly. And remember, I do not advocate for violence unless it's in self-defense of you and your family and those around you. And please note that the opinions, thoughts, and statements expressed on this platform are solely my own and for educational and entertainment purposes only. Hope everybody's having a good day so far today. I've been feeling much better. I was under the weather for the last few days, and now everybody else in the household has it. My daughter, my wife. I'm actually supposed to be at work right now, but I had to call in because my wife is just not feeling that great at all. So, I'm going to be doing two podcasts. This one will be live, and then I'll be doing a Lesson 7, an EDU segment, where we'll be doing a reading out of the Field Training Manual 2000-25. So, just to kind of play catch up a little bit. But got a lot going on. Got a new puppy in the household. Not the perfect time to get a puppy when everybody starts getting sick. Got this puppy on Friday, and everybody, including myself, I started getting sick actually Friday, and then it just got worse from there. So anyway, it's been a fun freaking week. It's been absolutely just horrendous. But we're going to get through it. We're going to definitely get through it. So I got a very special show lined up for you today. Not that none of the other shows aren't special, but you know, this one is without a doubt going to be one that I think is going to be an important one, because the topic at hand here is spiritual treason. Now, what is spiritual treason? Well, first off, let's look at the definition of treason. What really is treason? Well, treason is really a serious offense that's defined as the betrayal of one's country, right? Especially by attempting to, you know, overthrow the government by aiding its enemies during wartime, right? And when I say overthrow the government, I'm talking overthrowing the rightful government by the people. And again, or if you're aiding enemies during wartime, or even during peacetime, for that matter. Treason can take many forms. It typically involves actions, like I said, like aiding enemies of the state, or attempting to kill or injure the head of a state. Treason can often be looked at as giving secrets, top secret secrets, confidential information to foreign enemies, foreign adversaries, right? Treason is often considered one of the gravest crimes because it undermines the stability and security of a nation. And Punishments for treason can vary depending on the legal system, but often include severe punishments like imprisonment for a very long time or even death. That's right. And so the issue that I'm about to raise up here will undoubtedly be a sensitive and complex one, because I know it's going to tick a few people off, but it is a topic that we have to touch on because it's going to touch on themes of faith and leadership and accountability within the religious institutions and structures that we have always been taught to trust. See, the COVID-19 scamdemic has indeed brought to light disparities in treatment and perceptions of essential services, including the decision to close down churches while allowing other establishments to remain open, like, oh, I don't know, strip clubs, liquor stores, weed dispensaries in certain states where it's legal, and big box stores, while mom and pop stores were shut down. But the fact that most churches shut down has led to feelings of betrayal and disillusionment among many, many members of the faith community who may have perceived such actions as a form of spiritual treason. Now, regarding cases of abuse and misconduct among church leaders, particularly in instances of pedophilia and other crimes against humanity, you know, it's undeniable. It's undeniable that these are grave betrayals of trust and violations of sacred duty to protect and serve God's people. And this isn't just a Catholic issue. Believe me, it's an every religion issue. Protestants, Methodists, Seventh-day Adventists, Mormons. You think that this is a Catholic issue? No. Look, I mean, let's just face facts. Now, this is not to go after any specific religion, but this does stem at the Vatican. And the Vatican is, in, you know, by and large, the tip of the umbrella of all other religions, whether you like it or not. Just because it's a Catholic institution doesn't mean that they don't have authority over all other religions. You better believe they do. Now, the lay people, right, the people on the ground, the people of faith, Catholics, Mormons, Protestants, whatever, okay, we may not be on the same page when it comes to certain beliefs, but that's not to say that all those people in those different faith structures are bad. It goes up by, you know, from the hierarchy, starting with the Vatican on down, and then, you know, you got your bishops and your cardinals and all that. But when leaders prioritize their own interest, whether, you know, financial gain or personal gratification, over the well-being and spiritual growth of their congregants, it represents, again, a very profound betrayal of values and teachings that they profess to uphold. Now, these instances of spiritual treason not only inflict harm on individual victims, but also erode the credibility and integrity of the entire institution. They sow seeds of doubt and cynicism. It undermines the faith and trust of believers who look to their spiritual leaders for guidance and moral example. You see, folks, the failure to address and confront such abuses head-on only compounds the sense of betrayal and disillusionment felt by those who have been affected. And it's important to recognize that these issues are not limited. Like I said, I'm going to reiterate, they are not limited to any one denomination or faith tradition, but can occur and has occurred across various religious institutions and hierarchies. And so the path to healing and reconciliation involves acknowledging the wrongdoing, holding perpetrators accountable, implementing measures to prevent future abuses, making sure that our trust is not taken advantage of because of the moral authority they are supposed to hold. It's going to require a renewed commitment to the core principles of faith, including compassion, integrity, and accountability, to ensure that the trust of believers is not only restored, But that sacred mission of serving God's people is upheld with sincerity and humility. Very important. And this topic has just burned my backside since this crap has popped off back in 2020. Has just burned my backside. Now, before we get into the meat and potatoes of the show, let's get into 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. And I charge you in the presence of God and Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingly power. Proclaim the word. Be persistent, whether it is convenient or inconvenient. Convince, reprimand, encourage through all patience and teaching. For the time will come when people will not tolerate sound doctrine, but following their own desires and insatiable curiosity will accumulate teachers and will stop listening to the truth and will be diverted to myths. But you, be self-possessed in all circumstances. Put up with hardship. Perform the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Well, what did we just read here? What did we just go over here in these verses in 2 Timothy? Well, the passage here, it gives us a serious message about staying true to our faith, right? Spreading the word about Jesus. It's like a charge or a mission that we should hold as very, very important. What it's saying here is almost kind of like saying, hey, listen up. Mic check, 1, 2, 1, 2. Listen up. Is this thing on? This is a big deal because God and Jesus are coming back someday to judge everyone, whether they're alive or dead. That's what this is basically saying. And so we've got to keep telling people about God's message, even when it's tough. And we need to be persistent, convincing and being patient when we teach others. But here's the thing. There are also going to be times when people don't want to hear the truth. They will prefer to listen to things that sound good to them, right? They're going to turn their ears to people, false prophets, aka fake truthers, corrupt church leaders, right? The doom and gloom people. And they are going to turn their ear to them. Right? They're going to prefer to listen to things that sound good to them, even if those things aren't true. It's like they're going to ignore the real message. Because it's, you know, it doesn't fit with their, how do I want to say it? It doesn't fit their expectations of what they think should be happening. So rather instead, they go and listen to made up stories by some of these people out there who have amassed major influence on a lot of these platforms out there on the internet. So what should we do when that happens? Well, it's important to mention that we need to stay strong and not give up. That's very important, even when things get hard. And I know things do get hard, and people want to just give up. Trust me, I've been there. But we have to keep spreading this good news, just like it's our job, right? Like it is our job, because it is our job. We need to keep focused. We need to do the work of telling others about Jesus, and we need to do our best in serving God. Now, does that mean we're going to be perfect in serving God on a daily basis? No. We might fall short, sure. But these verses are a very stark warning because it reminds us to be careful. Don't turn away from God's truth and don't get caught up in things that don't matter. Have I been guilty of that? You betcha. Have I parroted some of these things that other influencers have talked about in the past? Yes. Have I asked God and repented against, you know, what I have done? You betcha. Yes, I have. Because the last thing I feel like doing is spreading doom and gloom, number one. Number two, I don't want to mislead anybody. I don't want to lead anyone astray. And maybe perhaps that's why this platform is growing so slowly. See, I'm very confident in my abilities here. I might not be the best speaker, or might have, you know, I might not have the best technology here, but you know, I do put my best foot forward in all of this. And maybe it's because I don't succumb to the payroll of the deep state. So I don't have the hundreds and hundreds and thousands of followers. Because I'm not going to comply and take a paycheck just to feed a narrative to people and try to steer people away from the General Assembly. No, thank you. I'm not doing that. So if this just has to grow organically at a slow and steady rate from here until the day I die, so be it. I don't care if I only amass 2,000 followers between now and by the time I die and take my last dying breath and can't be on the air anymore and all I have is 2,000 people. I don't care. That's fine. That right there would be the true remnant, in my opinion. I mean, I'm not putting myself in a comparative standpoint to Jesus, but look, Jesus only needed 12 apostles. And look what worldly changes for the positive have been made and have been accomplished by those 12 apostles. You don't think 2,000 people couldn't do the same thing? Or 200? I think so. We need to stay loyal to God, ladies and gentlemen, even when it's tempting to follow, you know, what everyone else is doing and saying. See, our job is to stick to what we believe in and keep following God's teachings, no matter what. That's what really matters, and that's what we should always stick to. That's why I'm doing my absolute best to make sure I don't post stupid things that always seem to be doom and gloomy. Have you noticed, by the way, because we're, you know, one day after the solar eclipse. Now, where I was at here in Michigan, we didn't get 100% coverage. I think it was like 88 or 87% coverage, but it was still pretty cool to see. Temperature dropped significantly. It looked like somebody put a layer of tint, 20% tint, in the air because it was light and dark at the same time. It was such an insane experience. And for anybody else that has been to the States where you had total coverage, I bet that had been really cool. But have you noticed that on this platform, I have not said squat about the eclipse and about the military being in these states where there's going to be total coverage? Have you noticed I haven't been spreading the doom and gloom about all these states? Some of these states are calling off schools and some of these states are doing this and you better stock up on food. You better stock up on gas and you better make sure your car, you know, your Tesla is charged up. You better make sure that you stay home from work because CERN is getting turned on and all the little mini CERNs that are in Tennessee, people are leaving and blah, 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 blah. Like, have you noticed that I haven't done any of that? I haven't spoken a word about any of that. Yeah, I brought up the eclipse once. But that was basically like, hey, it's coming up, by the way. But aside from that, have you heard me speak on all these, oh my God, watch out, the sky is going to fall, don't look up? Have you heard me say any of these things on this platform? No, you have not. You want to know why? Because it's fear-mongering bullcrap. What happened? Oh, look, the moon went in front of the sun, a natural occurring event. Yes, it is a miraculous event. It is an event that was given to us by God, but it was just a natural occurring event. Did we get earthquakes that rumbled and, you know, tumbled the entire foundations of the earth? No. Did we get volcanoes erupting around the world causing mass chaos? Did riots break out? No. But yet you see all these people on TikTok and all these influencers out here saying, oh, you better be careful. You better stay home. Don't go out to work. You know, don't go to work because we're going to be beefing up CERN. NASA's going to be shooting rockets at the moon during the eclipse. This is going to happen. That's going to happen. We need to have these spiritual revivals. Come on. Come on. So, anyway, that's all I got to say on the subject. It's just, it blows my mind, the type of fear porn that gets pushed out there. Again, careful who you follow. I've had people tell me repeatedly who listen to this show. I am the only podcast they listen to. Because they, like myself, have discovered and have witnessed and noticed inconsistencies in other shows with huge numbers. And remember, just because these people who are influencers and major quote-unquote truthers, and I use that term loosely, just because they have hundreds of thousands of followers doesn't mean they're good. Look at Hollywood. You know how many people revere and idolize the Hollywood stars and music industry stars? And how people revere certain politicians and world leaders? But yet these are the same very people, the very same people who have millions upon millions upon millions of followers who engage against crimes, you know, engage in crimes against humanity and are the biggest perpetrators to human sex trafficking and pedophilia and satanic ritual abuses. Just because people have large followings doesn't deem them credible or righteous. Just because somebody is a high-ranking general doesn't mean they are credible. Just because somebody was once a president of the United States corporation doesn't mean they are credible. Just because somebody is a church leader or a cardinal or a bishop doesn't mean they are credible. Doesn't mean they are righteous. Which is why I wanted to get into the spiritual treason subject matter. Before I do, I want to play, I have two audio pieces here. One from Mark Taylor. Well, both of them actually are from Mark Taylor. I actually have four audio pieces, but the other ones I'm going to play at the end of the show because I think they're funny, but also worth a listen. So let's get into cut number one. Mark Taylor, regarding spiritual treason.
I'm looking for men and women of God to put their differences aside, come together in unity for this common cause and forwarding my kingdom. My army is making great strides against the kingdom of darkness, taking ground, holding ground. They will be an unstoppable force in the days ahead. Unify, unify, unify. I'm calling on my troops to unify now. So spiritual treason is treason of the natural would be like betraying your country, would be trying to take down your country, working against your country. And so spiritual treason is when you're working against the kingdom of heaven, when you're working against the kingdom of God, and you're actually aiding the kingdom of darkness. He's tired of the people using the word of God, attacking one another. You know, it's friendly fire. It's amazing because we live in such a militant society right now. When you disagree with someone, you become their mortal enemy. And it has that same attitude is transferred to the people of God, basically, where they'll shoot somebody in that foxhole with them. You know, when the Lord talks about thou shalt not murder, people think that it's taking a life, if you will, in the physical. Well, there's such a thing as doing it in the spiritual. That's why it's called character assassination, because you're murdering people with your words. And the Lord's very serious when he says, I'm going to hold you accountable for every word that you speak. Yes, we're going to have disagreements. We're not going to always 100% agree on everything, but that doesn't mean that you're my enemy. You know, we should go back to the days when we could disagree on something, lovingly agree to disagree, but you part as still brothers and sisters in Christ. That's where the Lord is calling us to be right there. The clergy response team was put together under FEMA. We don't know the exact amount. It was 28,000 at one point, and then it had grown to something over that. I don't know what the numbers are now or were. I don't know if that's still enacted or not, but at some point, these pastors literally sold out their flock for their own safety. It was designed that in times of natural disaster, you would get your flock under control. You would get them to submit their guns to the government. They would literally lead the government to your home. They were to control their flock, basically. And they were going to basically take your family under the direction of your pastor, who was involved in all of this, and lead you to a FEMA internment camp. They had a whistleblower come out and expose all of this. He actually had the handbook that they were giving him and what they were supposed to do. He didn't like what he was seeing, and so he exposed a lot of this, and it just went dark. The Lord's been telling me, federal agents in the pulpit posing as pastors, and we don't know who they are. That's the scary part. They are there to log everything that goes on in their congregation and report it to the feds. And under Obama, this was really bad. And under Clinton, this is where they're going to activate. Everything was going to get activated under Clinton. That's what people don't understand. It was a process of getting things in place through Bush, Obama, and then it was going to be activated under Hillary. And that's the kind of things that you saw happening in Nazi Germany at the time in World War II. People selling people out like that and turning them over to the Gestapo. That to me is treason, period. And so that's the clergy response team in a nutshell. Where it's at today, I don't know, because nobody can get any information on it. Only the whistleblower was able to bring forth that information. If they ever release that information, I think it's going to astound people who's on that list, number one. But number two, how many of them are on that list? That's the bad part right there, is because you don't know who's in the pulpit. Spiritual warfare is when you're addressing the enemy. Prayer is when you're addressing God. So if you're going after the enemy, you're using all of your weapons of warfare that you have to get rid of an entity, to bind an entity. To me, repentance is probably one of the highest forms of spiritual warfare. I try to explain it this way. Here in Florida, you know, we have a right to shoot someone who comes in our house. So if someone knocks on my door and I invite him in, and all of a sudden he pulls a gun on me or gives me a hard time, and I ask him to leave. No, I'm not going to leave. Why won't you leave? Because you invited me in. He has a legal right to be there. I invited him in. Repentance stops that. So that now when I do repentance and I take that legal right away, he comes in my door unannounced. I have the right to take care of it however I see fit, whether it's deadly force or whatever it is. I know that's kind of a hard of analogy, but that's the way it kind of works, is that when you take the legal right away, now you can go in and you can do damage to the enemy. That's the point I'm trying to make here.
Spiritual warfare is something people experience when the enemy's not happy with them. Either they've got some major open doors and the enemy is coming after them and they need to do some repenting and get their heart right with the Lord, or they're getting retaliated against for walking with the Lord. And those spiritual attacks are what we have authority to come against. We don't have to put up with that. In the Christian walk with the Lord, you do not have to put up with that. So spiritual warfare is an opportunity for us to figure out why that door is open, why they have the right, and close it.
And it hit me, you know, in John, it talks about where they were going to stone the Lord, and he hid himself and slid out. And the Lord says, well, you know, if you can do, you'll do the things that I did, but also greater things. Well, if he can do that, we can do it. So the Lord gave me this prayer, where it's like, Lord, I release your heavenly host and your warring angels to jam the enemy's radar and scramble his frequencies. And so I put that on my website where people can download it. And so we can do that. We can scramble the enemy's frequencies. We can scramble his radar. We can jam it. And he cannot detect what's going on. He can't hear what's going on. He can't see what's going on, just like Jesus did. And so, I mean, so before you do any warfare, that's what I tell people, do the enemy's radar prayer first. Scramble his frequencies, because if you don't, he's setting up for you coming. And it's like, and you don't want that. You don't want to tell the enemy what you're doing. You want to ambush the enemy, which is what you do when you do this scrambling the enemy's radar prayer.
Years ago, the Lord told me there was three reasons for warfare. spiritual warfare. One was a sin in your own life, something that you continually do that you have not gotten taken care of, or a sin in your family line where they had tendencies that basically they squandered away their inheritance. And the third one was retaliation for serving the Lord. And he told me there's the two that you have control over, the sin in your life and the sin in your family. You can take care of that and close those doors. And then you ask the Lord to take care of the one that is retaliation for serving him. I believe the church has gone wrong with spiritual warfare because they don't check their hearts first for doing something. And when you have open doors in your own life, if you have sin in your own life and you try to come against that without taking care of what's in your heart and what doors you have open, you give the enemy the right to come after you instead of you being effective in that spiritual warfare. And I believe that there's a lot going on there. There's a lot of pastors that have taught us that we just have authority. And the truth is we do, but we can't cast out Satan with Satan. And that's not going to work as effectively as if you make sure that your heart is right. I am forever always repenting for anything that I might have done to step out of my authority. I try to make sure my heart is right with the Lord first.
You can't cast out Satan with Satan. And she's absolutely correct. She's absolutely correct. You see, in the context of spiritual treason against God and Jesus Christ within Christian theology, entails a betrayal and rejection of the fundamental principles, the teachings, and the relationship that we have with God and Christ, as it's outlined in Christian principles and tradition. This betrayal can take various forms, ranging from theological heresy to moral transgressions, right? So, spiritual treason could take form in many different ways. So, the first way is through heresy and apostasy, because spiritual treason against God and Jesus Christ can manifest through heretical beliefs or apostasy. Excuse me, I can't speak today. Heresy involves the rejection or the distortion of essential Christian doctrine, such as the nature of God or the divinity of Christ Jesus, the authority of Scripture, or the doctrine of salvation. Now, apostasy involves a deliberate abandonment or renunciation of one's Christian faith and allegiance to God and Jesus. Another form of spiritual treason could be idolatry, right? Idolatry is a form of spiritual treason where people prioritize or worship something other than God and Jesus. This includes the worship of material possessions, worldly success, movie and music stars, personal desires above the worship of God. It involves placing anything or anyone as basically the ultimate object of devotion instead of God. That's basically what that's all about. And it contradicts the commandments against idolatry found in the Bible. Now, another form of spiritual treason would be moral transgressions. Moral transgressions. Spiritual treason can involve moral transgressions that violate the teachings and commandments of God and Jesus. This can include actions such as lying, stealing, adultery, murder, or any behavior that goes against the moral principles outlined in the Bible and the teachings of Jesus Christ. Notice what Mark Taylor said in that last audio piece. That's why it's called character assassination. Murder isn't necessarily the taking of a life in the physical form, but the taking of someone, you know, the takedown of somebody's character through words. You're murdering their character, hence the term character assassination. So when the commandment says thou shalt not murder, I guarantee you a lot of people, including myself, have been guilty of this sin. We have all murdered people's characters. And we have gossiped about people in the past. And if you're going to sit here and tell me that you haven't, I would highly suggest you deeply reflect on your past life, since you've learned how to talk. And I guarantee you, you have, because I know I have. Doesn't make it right. I'm not going to sit here and justify the why I did engage in these gossiping ordeals, but we all have. The important thing that we do going forward is that we stop it. Well, Jason, sometimes on the show, I hear you say this, that, and the other thing about other people. You're right, and I have. Again, I don't want to put a justification or a why behind it, but when there are people out there that are deliberately, intentionally, consciously trying to lure people away from the truth and steer people down a path of destruction, yeah, I get a little bit pissed off about that. And yeah, so I might call them an idiot or an ignorant reprobate. Yeah, sure, I have. But what I'm talking about here is when you're among friends and you're talking about another friend behind their back, and you're discussing how, you know, he or she did this, and oh, I cannot believe that they would do such a thing, and blah, blah, blah. What kind of person do they think they are? That's what I'm talking about. You're assassinating somebody's character by talking in detail about them. That's what murdering with words can look like. Another way that spiritual treason can take the form of false teaching and deception. We were just talking about that, right? In the past few shows, we talked about this with Mike Gill. And yes, I plan on having Mike Gill back on the show. He was supposed to be on the, you know, this past Sunday, but because the whole household fell sick, that didn't happen. So I'm going to reschedule him. I'm going to get him on. But false teaching and deception, because spiritual treason may occur through false teachings and deception, which leads people astray from the truth of God's word and Jesus. False prophets and teachers may distort scripture. They might promote self-serving doctrines or, well, like Mark was saying, Mark Taylor was saying, lead others away from the true path of faith and righteousness. Two more ways that, you know, spiritual treason can take the form of rejecting salvation. When you reject the offer of salvation through Jesus Christ, that can be considered a form of spiritual treason, because Christians believe that Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation in eternal life with God. Therefore, rejecting Jesus as Lord and Savior constitutes a rejection of God's grace and salvation offered through Christ's sacrificial death and resurrection. We just celebrated it just the other week. Blasphemy is the final way that you could commit treason against God and Jesus. Speaking irreverently or contemptuously about God and Jesus Christ or other sacred things is a very, very serious offense against God. I think in the Bible somewhere it says that the one unforgivable sin is blaspheming the Holy Spirit, because it demonstrates a lack of reverence and respect for the divinity, right? And it can be considered a very serious form of spiritual treason. So as far as Christian theology goes, I'm just going to say it like that because I don't like the idea of religions and denominations, but in Christian theology, spiritual treason against God and Christ, Jesus, is viewed as a grave matter with eternal consequences. And Christians also believe, though, again, in the possibility of repentance, forgiveness, and reconciliation through genuine contrition, acts of contrition, through faith in Christ Jesus, and turning away from their sinful behaviors. We've seen this demonstrated throughout the Bible. murderers and tax collectors and prostitutes turning to Jesus and being redeemed. It doesn't matter who you are and what you've done. Yeah, but Jason, what about the pedophiles and the satanic ritualistic abusers? Look, I am just a man living on this land. My judgment against others is going to be severely different than what God's judgment is. Now, I don't know what that looks like for God, but I have my own thoughts. That's why you and I aren't God. God's ultimate judgment is going to be different than what the human judgment will look like. Okay, so I can't speak to that. But what I can speak on is that if people who have committed crimes against humanity, people who have done unspeakable things to the children and defenseless women who have been abducted or have committed satanic crime, you know, ritualistic abuses against people in general, sacrificing their lives, murdering them. Look, I can't speak on what God's going to do to them. I don't know. But what I do know is that if there is a true repentance, a true act of genuine contrition, you have a true turning to the faith of Jesus, and you turn away from your sinful behaviors, who knows? Maybe people like that can be redeemed. I don't know. That's not for me to decide because that's not my wheelhouse. I got one more audio piece I'm going to play by Mark Taylor on the topic of spiritual treason. So this is cut number two.
Right with the Lord first.
So the next one is called Shatter and Scatter, and it was written June 12th, 2016. And it says, the Spirit of God says the Illuminati and ISIS have merged and are attacking the pulse of this nation, for they are responsible for the list of assassinations. For the New World Order is shaking and quaking, for they will go down in flames ablazing. For they are trying to kill this nation before my chosen one takes office through depopulation.
Now, just keep in mind here, this was a prophecy that he wrote down back in June 12th of 2016. This was before Donald John Trump became president of the United States. Continuing.
Finances and assassination. My army, my intercessors, arise and take the fight to the enemy. Stop the assassinations. Stop the attacks to the pulse of this nation. The Spirit of God says, the Illuminati. I, the Lord God, shall expose the Illuminati because of who they want to be. They shall say, we will be the world leaders like a shot. Not so fast, for I, the Lord God, shall shatter you like a clay pot. Shattered and scattered, my wind will send you back to the one who sent you. For you think you are wise, craving power, money, and the prize. You so-called wise have been fooled by the lust and the lure of the prize to the point that the one who sent you now seeks his payment, and this too you will soon realize. For your days are numbered and short. Woe to you when you have to stand before him and report. For this will be for all to see when you serve the God of this world. It will bring you low. Repent, or you shall be cast into the fire below. The Spirit of God says, why do the prophets of doom and gloom keep saying that this is the end? For they are misreading this season of time we are in. For those that keep speaking this with words that bend are aiding the enemy, making the people lay down their arms, give up, lose hope, stop fighting, and saying we will just ride this out to the end. For you are never to stop fighting or lay down your arms for any reason. Stop listening to those who commit spiritual treason. For life and death are in the power of the tongue. For this treasonous talk is even affecting the young. Stop aiding the enemy and start talking about what I, the Lord God, and my army are going to do. Grab the enemy by the throat and make him fluster. Look him in the eyes and say, is that all you can muster? Choose this day whom you will serve, for I have given you the victory and the choice is yours, your supreme commander, God. Now, in this prophecy, at the time, again, this was before the president had come into office. We just had the Pulse nightclub shooting in Orlando. There was no coincidence there. He was linked to ISIS somehow. And so this is what the Lord was saying, is that ISIS and Illuminati have merged to basically follow out their assassination orders. That's what that was. And they were trying to strike at the pulse of the nation at that time to instill fear. In here, where it talks about that he's going to shatter the Illuminati like a clay pot. He's going to expose everything behind the Illuminati, which we've been seeing. We've been seeing the cabal. All of these things are now he's just going to shatter them to pieces, basically, is what he's saying. And then in the last paragraph here, he talks about, you know, why do the prophets of doom and gloom keep saying this is the end? When you rob people of hope, you rob them of the will to fight. I'm getting emails from people right now that say, you know, hey, Mark, I appreciate your message of hope, you know, because I've been addicted to the doom and gloom. I listen to the doom and gloom messages, whether it's the news, whether it's the pastors, whatever. And I was on the verge of committing, I was literally fixing to commit suicide. And it was your message of hope that turned me around, and I rededicated my life to Christ. And so the Lord's holding them accountable right here. Stop with the doom and gloom. Preach the gospel. The gospel was the good news, period, of Jesus Christ. And I'm a hope agent. You know, I want to instill hope in people that this thing's not over with. We don't know when the Lord's going to come back. He could come back before we finish this. It's not up to us. It's up. No man will know. Not even Jesus himself will know. But the point being is that we are to fight, continue to fight. God will give us the victory as we fight until that day comes.
Yeah. And this is something that I think a lot of people are going to struggle with, because so many people want this thing to be done. There are so many people that want this thing to be done. When you are tickling the ears of other people, as far as podcasters and influencers go, or if you're a news anchor or caster or whatever, if you have influence among a big group of people and you're spreading that doom and gloom, but at the same time you are selling your merchandise and your books and your advertisements, and you're making tens of thousands of dollars a month, $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 a month. I mean, shoot, some of these people probably make more money in a month than I do in a year. You have to ask yourself, who are these people? Now, I'm not going to sit here and disparage certain podcasters out here and influencers, but you have to ask yourself, who are these people? Some of these platforms, freaking almighty, they have so much swag and product lines than freaking what Walmart has. I mean, it's ridiculous. And you're going to sit here and tell me that these are genuine truthers? Look, I have a brand over here at His Hard Line, clearly. I have made my own shirts. I have not really advertised them. Because number one, I don't have the time to make them myself. I have the ability to, but there's just no time in the day. I have not really looked at other printers to do shirts, you know, to help support the show. But here's the thing. Now is not the time. God, because I had a donation tab up, but now is not the time for me to try to profit and make a living out of this. This is a time of getting truth out there. God gave me, you know, this is what basically God told me. Look, I gave you a very good job. You make six figures a year, Jason. You do not need to be taking in donations. You have the ability to fund this for me. This is why I called you to do this. This is why I got you the job that you did in the field that you really are passionate about. You love trucks. I've always loved trucks, guys. Like ever since I was a kid, I've collected diecast model trucks. I had calendars with semis on them. I mean, trucking is my thing. My dad was a truck driver. My grandfather retired from trucking. I have an uncle who is a trucker. I love trucks. I love semis. And so God said, I gave you a job that you liked, and I'm allowing you to make a very decent income doing what you like. So do not try at this point in time to make money off the listeners that are coming over to your show. Hence why you will not see a donation tab up there. Now, if somebody is that insistent on wanting to contribute to the show, okay, I'll figure something out. But I'm not putting it out there. Don't want to. God told me no. That should tell you something. Now, back to what Mark Taylor said. He gets emails and messages from so many people saying, thank you so much for your message of hope. because I was on the verge of committing suicide because I was feeling so hopeless. Well, Jason, we can't be spreading hopium. Well, hopium and spreading hope are two different things. Hopium, in my opinion, is building people's hope up with false narratives and false teachings. Spreading hope as a positive change agent is using is you know, you're using God's good news and God's good word. Like I was saying, so many influencers out there over the past few weeks were building up this solar eclipse as a big event that, oh, you better get your groceries stocked up and get your gas car, you know, your car gassed up and prepare for the apocalypse. Look what happened. Nothing happened. We saw an awesome event that was witnessed by hundreds of thousands, if not millions. It was an event that was something to be remembered. It was beautiful. It was provided by God. There was nothing scary about that, but yet you had so many out there fear-porning the public on the internet. That is absolutely absurd. My brother-in-law, his one and only sister, God rest her soul, Jenny, took her own life a couple years ago. She followed the Q movement. She was a diehard liberal for the longest time, but became a Trump person, started opening her eyes. She started waking up to the bullcrap. She started becoming enlightened. She started understanding what was going on. And like, oh my goodness, I can't believe how we've been lied to. I said, I know, right? She was a sweet girl, very nice smile on her face. But sadly, because she had been still listening to wrong voices, and I guess it was discovered that on her computer, she had been engaging and paying for, I guess you could call it a psychic, an online psychic, tarot card reader of sorts, right? She's not what you would call the most spiritual person, but she was definitely waking up to the atrocities of what has been going on in this country and around the world. Well, apparently this psychic, I don't know how this got discovered because I wasn't there. I didn't do any of the, you know, detail, you know, looking up at the details, but you know, this supposed psychic was telling Jenny, oh, I see Trump getting arrested and Donald Trump, this whole country is going down and Trump's getting arrested and blah, 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 blah. That caused her to lose so much hope and diminished her internally, mentally. She took her own revolver, went out in her backyard, and she killed herself. That's bullshit. Pardon my French, but that's bullshit. And that psychic should be held accountable. That's why you are not going to be seeing fear porn over here. Not because I want to do it. No, it's fear. There's no room for fear. There's a reason why God said it in the Bible over 365 times. Fear not. Do not fear. Have no fear. I want to be a positive change agent for the world and be a positive spark for, on behalf of God and help restore mankind while we restore our Republican form of government through our receding of seats that have sat vacant since 1861 through the reassembly of states, returning to original jurisdiction, back to common law, God's law, natural law. And I don't intend on being a poor steward of that responsibility. But because of these people out here profiting off the ignorance of the American public through spreading fear, doom and gloom and propaganda bullcrap, many dump their pockets into these podcasters and these influencers. And then once they hit a tipping point, they go and off themselves. Here's my money. And then boom, they shoot themselves. That is the saddest thing I've ever heard. And if they don't go through with doing that, these people are living with such high levels of anxiety, depression, hopelessness. And that's no way to live either. That's just a slow death right there. So anybody, if you're following anybody that does this, that spreads fear and gets your emotions stirred up for the negative, you might want to rethink that subscription. I don't care who it is. But you're certainly not going to find that kind of nonsense over here. Again, that's probably why my numbers grow steady, but very slowly, because I'm not that guy that's going to tickle your ear. I'm not going to tell you what you're going to want to hear, even though it's not good for your spirit. It's not good for your mental capacity. Somebody right here in the chat, Nancy, she was saying, my neighbor is struggling and I keep telling him to stop watching the news. Absolutely. You got to turn the damn TV off, folks. Listen, there are things that are going on in the background. You bet your bottom declining dollar that there is. There is no doubt things are taking place. It's evident if you pay attention. It's evident. I was just watching this video of this guy who put together a compilation. I shared it on Telegram. I might do a show on it. But 10 in-your-face obvious signs and evidence that shows you are legitimately watching. I mean, he puts it, a movie. I hate using the term movie, but you are watching the occupancy of a U.S. military, right? A continuity of government, devolution. Again, this was all started with the 21 requisitions that was put forward by the General General Assembly, the Michigan General General Assembly, which was concurred by other states. Yeah, but Jason, that's not happening fast enough. You know what? The timeline, like Mark Taylor was saying, this might not end until maybe the next generation or two. But that doesn't mean we stop fighting. That doesn't mean we don't stop being change agents here for the good. That doesn't mean we stop spreading the good news. I'm forever going to be behind the mic of this podcast. Some weeks might be less than others, depending on what life throws at me, but I will always keep this show going until my last dying breath, which hopefully is not for a very long, long, long time. Hopefully it's, you know, when I'm like 100, I kind of would like to say on my 100th birthday, hey, I am one, grandpa, you crazy loon. You're 100. No, I'm one. No, you're 100. No, I'm one. I'm 1 century old, young man. Yes, I am one. Go get me my tapioca pudding. But in all seriousness, if it doesn't leave you feeling good and hopeful about the future in a correct way, not in a false way, unsubscribe. And listen, if this show isn't for you and you don't feel like you're getting enough out of this, understandable. You're not going to offend me if you unsubscribe. It's fine. Sometimes people can't stand what I say, and I accept that truth and that fact. Not everybody likes what I say. Sometimes my wife doesn't like what I say. Does that mean I'm going to begrudge her? No. We're all going to have our differences in opinions and thoughts. But the important thing we need to do here is remain in God's truth. And his truth is found in the Holy Bible. And how you get to that truth is by opening it up and go through it one page at a time. Too many people are taking their own lives. And it's sad. And if it's not from the doom and gloom, it's because of financial troubles. My stepfather, Barry, late stepfather. I have a new stepfather now. His name's Tony. He's a great man. Love that guy. He's an Italian from New Jersey. Not only is my stepfather, I consider him a friend. He's a very smart man. He knows a lot about a lot. And because he's Italian, I think, well, he's got people. He knows a guy. You need fender work done on your pickup truck? I got a guy. He'll say, oh, you need dental work? I got a guy. Oh, you need a pool guy? Hey, I got a guy for that too. I got a pool guy. I got a shrub guy. This guy knows so many people. It's amazing. But my late stepfather, before Tony came along, Barry, he had hung himself because of financial troubles back in 2013. I was working for him in his business. We had a home-based business. We were basically in the lead generation business. Well, Jason, what's that? Well, basically, we were the middlemen that would help online colleges get leads filtered to them to try to convert those leads into online enrollments for a college degree. And so we were the guys that would, you know, put together the call centers and the websites that, you know, sparked interest in people who wanted to obtain a degree online. And then we'd filter those leads for a certain price to the colleges. And that's what the business was. And he did very successful at it. I mean, this man made anywhere between, gosh, if I had to take a guess, between $40,000 and $60,000 a month. I mean, he did very well with it. But sadly, financial troubles occurred because he was starting another business and it was taking a lot of his financial resources and people were taking advantage of him, and his net 30s and 60s and 90-day invoices weren't, you know, being fulfilled and paid forward, you know, paid out. He was falling behind. His boat got, you know, repossessed. He was behind on the electric bill by a few months, the HOA dues by a few months. I mean, he was behind on so much because he was pouring out all his financial resources and all these endeavors. And then he felt like he was that Greek person. I forgot what his name was, Sisyphus or whatever, the one that kept rolling the boulder up the hill, but then kept rolling back down. I think that was the name. Forgive me, I'm not very well versed in Greek theology, but when he wrote his suicide note, it was a 3-page note. That's what he wrote. That's what he felt like, that there was no hope, that he was so far deep that he felt like there was no other choice but to do what he did. And he hung himself. And then, of course, I was left to find him and deal with that trauma. But there is a growing number of people that are taking their own lives, and it's very, very sad because of these people out there spreading this false, you know, crap. You know, it just blows my mind what people subject themselves to. I like what Nancy was saying right here. She says, I have always found that God came through when I needed him, sometimes a little slower than I wanted, but eventually. And so there is somebody that I knew in Florida. I forgot her name now. My mom and I volunteered at her property because she had a little property called God's Little Acres. It was really cute. It was like a little petting farm. And it was a petting farm for special needs kids, right? I mean, it was a very awesome place. But she always said, I wish I could remember her name. Joni? Was it Joni? My mom's going to hear the replay of this and she's going to remind me. I think her name was Joni. Anyway, she was in her like 60s, her and her husband. And she always said, and I've heard this from other places, but this was the first person I heard this from. She always said, God may be late, but he's always on time. God may be late, but he's always on time. What does that mean, Jason? Well, he might be late in your mind, but God will always be on time in his time frame. So like back what Nancy was saying, God always comes through, maybe not, you know, in the time frame she needed, but eventually. And that's what God always does. God always comes through. And so if you could take away any positive message from this today, it's this one. You might not be getting your prayers answered in the time frame you need, but he's going to come through eventually. You just have to be patient. That's why they say patience is a virtue. But you're going to ask yourself, what are you listening to? What are you consuming? And are those things leaving you in a state of disparity and hopelessness? Because if it is, it's probably not good for your spirit, and you should probably turn it off and unsubscribe. So with that, let's pray. Maybe. Okay, so, dear Heavenly Father, as we come before you in prayer, we lift up our hearts and voices in humility and reverence, and we acknowledge your sovereignty and your presence in our lives, and we thank you for the gift of faith that sustains us in times of trial and uncertainty. Lord, we pray for all those who are struggling to find the words to express their deepest thoughts and desires to you. We ask that you would hear the silent prayers of their hearts and grant them the peace and comfort they seek. And may your Holy Spirit intercede on their behalf, bringing clarity and understanding to their needs. We also lift up to those who are suffering in body, mind, and spirit. And we ask for your healing touch to be upon them, bringing relief from pain and restoration to health. And may your love and compassion surround them, providing strength and hope in their time of need. Father, we pray for all those who carry burdens and concerns in their hearts, unable to voice them aloud. And we ask that you would grant them solace and guidance, comforting them in their distress and offering reassurance of your steadfast love. We humbly repent of our nation's transgressions, acknowledging our shortcomings and the need for your forgiveness and grace. And we pray for reconciliation and healing, both individually and collectively, so that we be able to move forward as a nation, guided by your wisdom and righteousness. And lastly, Father, we entrust you all our hopes, dreams, and aspirations, knowing that you are faithful to hear and answer our prayers according to your will. Grant us the courage to trust in your providence and the strength to persevere in faith. In your Son's name, Christ Jesus, we pray. Amen. And as a little addition to the prayer for special intentions that anybody might hold dear in their heart. So, again, ladies and gentlemen, we will always do our best here to bring about a positive change here on this platform. We will always do our best. We don't ever want you leaving here feeling disparaged or hopeless or riddled with anxiety. Because here at His Hard Line, like I always say, we are firm, we are steadfast, and we are uncompromising. We will not allow the enemy to ever cross this line again, because it's our duty to hold that line. Because the enemy seeks to lure us into apathy, complacency, fear, doubt, anxiety, and hopelessness. It aims to keep us enslaved mentally, hindering our progress towards self-mastery, self-governance, and it seeks to destroy our self-procured relationship with our Heavenly Father. We need to remain vigilant and resolute in our commitment to holding this line. As always, it's a pleasure and an honor to serve you here at His Hard Line, where we are people focused and driven by the calling to serving you, commissioned to me by our Heavenly Father. God bless, ladies and gentlemen, and we will catch up with you here next time.
I was down, but now I'm up. Yeah. This all God, this ain't no luck. Yeah. I used to be stuck in that mud. Whoa. Yeah, I was down, but now I'm up. I was down, but now I'm up. Yeah. This all God, this ain't no luck. Yeah. I used to be stuck. My name Lazarus, no Satan gon' be mad at this. I had to ask my dad if it's okay to swing my bat at this. He said, boy, if I pitch it, it's out of the park. Moving so quick, it's like they stuck in park. They see the numbers, but I see the heart. 10,000 hours you spent in the dark, putting in good work, even though you didn't even know that it would work. Talk about a man who grew up in woodwork, do it for the love of it, that's the way it should work. Yeah, yeah. I know some people gon' look at me crazy, and I'm like, for what? I was stuck, I was down, but now I'm up. Yeah. It's all God, this ain't no love. Yeah. I used to be stuck in that mud. Yeah, I was down, but now I'm up. I was down, but now I'm
down, now I'm up like a seesaw. When I'm on a beat like an old man's lawn, better keep off. From the ground to the treetops, got clouds on my feet like Jack and the Beast. I jumped off quick, went straight in a free fall. Cowboy hat and a mic singing yeehaw. Landed on my feet like a feline. Put him back in the seat like a recline. Ayy, what you mean I'm not worthy? Did it with a purpose, didn't need a permit. Digging from the bottom and I brought it to the surface. Mind your business, now who I worship? Who the little guy making big, big, big moves? Tick tock, turn it to a tick, 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 boom. Yeah, I talk a lot of stuff. Probably thought it was a bluff. Till I went and turned it where?
I was down, but now I'm up.
To find more shows like this, you can visit hishardline.com. And to learn more about your involvement with your local General Jural Assembly, you can visit national-assembly.net. His Hardline Podcast.
His Hardline Podcast. Podcast.
Please exercise caution regarding any organization purporting to be an assembly and claiming similar objectives such as the American States Assembly, National Liberty Alliance, Life Force, Beacon 37, RUSA Tactical Civics, or any entity diverging from the officially recognized Michigan model acknowledged by 7 countries and the United States military. Furthermore, it's important to clarify that we do not endorse or recognize status corrections.